A Ekatra Podcast, Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Today we're getting into a really challenging, but also, I think, remarkably prescient work. It's Ernst Jünger's The Forest Passage, or Der Waldgang in the original German. And look, this isn't just, you know, a historical text. It feels more like a profound challenge to how we live today.
Absolutely. And its core idea, it's kind of simple on the surface, but incredibly powerful when you unpack it. He's saying that the deepest resistance, the real kind, isn't really about big collective actions. It's found in this sort of unbreakable inner freedom.
Right.
Jünger offers this radical blueprint, really, a way to hold on to your humanity, your moral compass, your authentic self when everything around you seems overwhelming. Things like state power or the way technology can sometimes dehumanize us or just the constant pressure to conform. It feels, well, incredibly relevant right now.
His ideas, especially on individual freedom, they really seem to spring from his, well, his extraordinary life, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Ernst Jünger, born 1895, lived all the way to 1998. One of Germany's most, let's say, controversial but also influential writers of the 20th century. He literally saw almost the entire thing unfold.
The sheer amount of upheaval he witnessed.
Yeah, across different German regimes, too.
And what makes Jünger so illuminating, I think, is his unique path. He wasn't just thinking about these things from an armchair. He was a decorated World War I stormtrooper, wrote The Storm of Steel, which is famous in its own right.
The classic, yeah.
But his journey didn't stop there. He went from being associated sometimes with a kind of militaristic nationalism to becoming this really profound philosopher of modernity. And he was into so many things: entomology, insect, science, travel, philosophy, literature. This gave him such a wide, sort of nuanced lens on the world's pressures.
That firsthand experience, though, and his refusal, his explicit refusal to join the Nazi Party, that must have deeply shaped his ideas about personal autonomy.
It had to. He observed Nazi Germany from this critical distance, a stance he called inner emigration.
Inner emigration.
Yeah, essentially a kind of quiet internal refusal to go along with the regime's demands, even while physically living there. He documented the horrors, but privately in his journals.
So he was this complex figure warrior and contemplative nationalist and cosmopolitan scientist and artist.
Exactly. And that mix gave him this maybe unparalleled insight into the fight for individual freedom, not just against outside enemies, but against those forces that try to control us from within.
So with that unique background setting the stage, The Forest Passage itself, it's not really a political manifesto, is it?
No, not in the usual sense. It's more like a guidebook for the thoughtful individual. It's really for anyone. For you, if you've ever felt that sense of your own autonomy kind of quietly slipping away in this age of, you know, increasing conformity, maybe state control, and you're looking for ways to reclaim that inner space. It's about keeping your spiritual freedom, your integrity intact by building the strong inner life.
It speaks to a deep anxiety, I think, one that's maybe often unspoken. Jünger uses this really powerful central metaphor. He pictures modern society as a ship caught in a hurricane.
Right, the ship.
And on this ship, the choices we usually get, like, you know, voting for different captains, he argues they're basically an illusion. They don't really change the ship's direction or stop the storm. So Jünger just rejects that whole limited choice setup. He says, no, there's a third path, and that's the forest passage.
And this forest passage, it's crucial to understand. It's not about literally running off to the woods.
No backpack required.
Exactly. It's a metaphor, an internal journey into, let's call it, the untamed primordial landscape of your own soul. The book really dives into the nature of freedom itself and the psychology of mass movements, how individual conscience relates to state authority. It really dissects how modern control works, often subtly, you know, through psychological nudges, economic dependence, not just brute force.
So the goal is?
The ultimate goal is to become what he calls a Waldganger, a forest goer, or maybe forest rebel. A sovereign individual, independent in spirit and intellect, even while you're still living within the system.
Okay, so if that's the overview, let's dig a bit deeper. How did Jünger see the world that necessitates this forest passage? He starts with this diagnosis, right? The modern predicament, using that ship metaphor again.
Yes, the ship heading into the storm. For him, our standard political processes, like elections, often just feel like trivial choices between leaders who are all basically steering towards the same troubled waters, maybe even catastrophe. And this creates this sense of, well, helplessness, doesn't it?
Definitely. He sort of dismisses the easy right-left solutions.
Yeah.
He says the real question isn't who steers the ship, but how does the individual survive the inevitable shipwreck? It's about realizing you've lost real agency against these huge impersonal forces, and that the old ways of resisting, maybe they just don't work anymore.
And if that's the situation, the predicament, then Junger points to fear. Fear as the fundamental tool of modern control.
Ah.
Yeah, and it's amplified, isn't it? By technology, by media. It keeps us in this constant state of low-level anxiety. Economic worries, social pressures, physical safety. This kind of background hum of dread makes people compliant. Almost like, he uses the word automatons, right? Willing to trade freedom for just a feeling of security.
And it's subtle, too. Modern propaganda, surveillance, the engineer conformity, not just through force, but through this deep psychological manipulation we might not even notice.
Exactly. It's quite insidious.
So, okay, that sounds pretty bleak. But this is where Junger offers a way out, isn't it?
Yeah.
He introduces the Waldgänger, the forest goer.
Yes, the positive archetype. And again, the Sorist here isn't about escaping to somewhere physical. It's an internal shift, a conscious refocusing of the self, even while you're navigating the everyday world.
So the forest is like a mental space.
Metaphorical space, yeah. A space of freedom, solitude, maybe even a bit of necessary danger. It exists outside the start's totalizing reach, its attempt to control everything. And you can find it anywhere, really. In your home, in a library, just inside your own mind.
And what defines this Waldgänger?
The key thing is being the final judge of your own actions and beliefs. Possessing what Junger calls elementary qualities, like basic moral decency, the ability to tell right from wrong, and the capacity for real reflection.
Okay, so the forest isn't just escape. It's a source of something positive.
Much more than escape. He sees it as a source of, let's call it metaphysical power. It connects you to something deeper, more primal, maybe. Timeless truths that ideologies try to paper over. By making this inner journey, you draw strength. You become more resilient to propaganda, less susceptible to fear.
And does he suggest practical ways to do this?
He does touch on it. Things like dedicated intellectual cultivation, you know, reading widely, thinking deeply, striving for economic independence if possible, cultivating real, authentic relationships built on trust. It's about developing this ability to, like, live as if you're participating normally in society, but maintaining this inner distance, this critical judgment.
And absolutely central to overcoming that fear you mentioned earlier, Junger brings up something intense, confronting death.
Yeah, this is arguably his most crucial point. The state's ultimate power, he suggests, boils down to the threat of death. Everything else stems from that.
So his logic is, if you conquer the fear of death,
then you become truly free. If you confront and accept your own mortality, think about it. If you're genuinely not afraid to die, how can the state truly control you?
Its ultimate weapon loses its power.
Exactly. Suddenly, values like honor, truth, freedom itself, they become more important than just staying alive biologically. It's a radical shift in perspective.
Wow. Okay, so that internal shift, that conquering of fear, how does that translate into action for the Waldgänger? What are their tools?
Well, their resistance is often subtle, not necessarily grand public gestures. It might involve critically following laws, but knowing the difference between legitimate order and arbitrary tyranny, using technology for your own purposes, not letting it use you, building small circles of trust, real relationships that form resilient little communities.
And the main weapon
is unshakable integrity, that inner core. And Junger ends on this note of, well, cautious hope. He sees the Waldgänger not just resisting, but acting as a kind of seed bearer.
A seed bearer.
Yeah, preserving authentic freedom, cultural values, spiritual inheritance, like keeping a light burning through dark times, holding on to something essential for a more human future that might come after a crisis.
Okay, so if we try to boil this down, what are the key messages we should really take away from the forest passage?
Well, first, I think, is that deep tension he explores, individual sovereignty versus collective control. Junger really insists that true freedom isn't just about politics, it's an inner transformation. It's about holding on to those elementary human qualities, moral judgment, independent thought against the constant pressure to conform.
Which really makes you think, what does this mean for you personally? In those moments where, you know, social pressure asks you to compromise your values or just blindly follow a trend.
Yeah.
Prioritizing that inner conviction, that feels like a powerful act of self-ownership. What stands out to you about that?
It really does. And connected to that is the whole theme of overcoming fear, right? Junger shows how fear is the state's or maybe society's main tool. And conquering it, especially that ultimate fear of death, whether you take it literally or metaphorically, as facing deep discomfort, that's the key to liberation. The forest becomes that safe inner space, that sanctuary.
Yeah, and it prompts the question, doesn't it? If we connect this to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
How many of our daily anxieties are really life-threatening?
Mm.
Or are they perhaps amplified by these external forces Junger talks about, the systems designed to keep us anxious and compliant?
A very critical question. And then there's the whole technology piece and that paradox of engagement versus withdrawal. He wasn't anti-technology, but he saw the danger when it's used to dehumanize or control.
Right.
The Waldganger uses tech wisely, maintains that inner immigration participates, but without spiritual submission.
Which definitely raises a big question for us today, navigating our digital lives. How do we use technology as our tool without ending up as tools for technology? How do we stay human in the machine?
Ernst Junger's writing, it can be dense, absolutely, but man, it's also packed with these incredibly potent lines that just lodge themselves in your brain.
Oh yeah. There's one that really captures the essence for me. The forest passage is not a political program, but a way of existing that becomes possible when traditional forms of resistance have lost their meaning.
Mm.
It just perfectly frames it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Resistance isn't just protests or voting, especially when those feel ineffective. It's about a fundamental shift in how you live, how you think, making an internal stand.
That's a great one. And how about this? Freedom is not a political condition, but a spiritual achievement that must be won anew by each individual in each moment.
Mm.
That really hits home. Freedom isn't just handed to you by a system. It's an active thing, a continuous internal choice, an ongoing effort you have to make yourself. Political systems can create conditions, maybe, but they can't give you freedom.
So true. And this one feels incredibly relevant right now. In times of universal deception, the preservation of elementary human faculties becomes a revolutionary act. Just think about that. Simply holding on to your ability to see clearly, to think honestly, to exercise basic judgment in a world that sometimes feels saturated with falsehoods and manipulation. That itself is a radical, maybe even revolutionary act.
It really reframes things.
So, okay, these are big philosophical ideas. How do we bring them down to earth? How can we actually apply some of this in our daily lives?
Well, one area is maybe cultivating a digital forest, right?
Right?
And practicing critical thinking.
What does that look like?
It could mean simple things like deliberately disconnecting sometimes, being really intentional about your information diet, not just consuming endless outrage or propaganda, actively developing your own thoughts instead of just echoing the online crowd or staying in your bubble. It's like your own personal deep dive into how you consume media.
A conscious choice to protect your mind. I like that.
And then there's the professional angle and personal courage. Think about professional ethics and reclaiming risk.
House.
Well, it could mean holding on to your ethical standards at work, even when there's pressure to cut corners or look the other way, maybe choosing career paths that allow more independence, if that's possible for you, or even just questioning those narratives, whether in public health or politics or social trends that seem to rely heavily on fear to get everyone to conform. It's about standing firm on your conscience, even if it feels risky.
That takes courage.
And finally, finding authentic community and meaning. Junger's Waldganger isn't necessarily a loner, so this could apply to seeking out relationships built on real trust and shared principles, not just, you know, superficial networking.
Deeper connections.
Exactly. And also actively cultivating your own inner sources of meaning, maybe through nature, art, philosophy, deep human connection, whatever resonates with you. That makes you less vulnerable to the hollow promises of consumerism or passing fads.
So wrapping up, for me, what really resonated most profoundly from the Forest Passage is probably that core idea. Ultimate freedom isn't out there, guaranteed by someone else. It's an internal state, a fortress you build inside. And also the power of those small, quiet, deliberate acts of integrity. They might not seem like much, but they add up. It really forces you to ask, where does my true sovereignty actually lie?
That's powerful. And what surprised me, I think, was just how incredibly prescient Junger was. Writing in 1951, yet foreseeing so clearly the challenges of technology, mass society, it's uncanny. And also the deep, almost spiritual dimension he brings to the idea of resistance. It's not just political, it's existential. The idea of the Waldganger as a seed bearer, holding on to something precious for the future. That feels quite hopeful, actually. And maybe that leaves a question for you listening. In your own life, what's one elementary quality? Maybe it's independent thought, maybe moral courage, maybe authentic connection that you could commit to nurturing just this week to strengthen your own inner forest.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.